Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, hello there. Yes, it's another bumper bonus edition of Footy Prime. Sharman here alongside Forrest and our special guest returning to the show of TFC of Canada, your very own Jonathan Osorio. Welcome to the show once again, Oso. I'm surprised you agreed to come back again, but thanks anyway.
No, of course. It's my pleasure. I couldn't turn down this invite. Never can.
Finally, Craig. Finally.
It's the best show on the podcast networks, apparently.
Yes, on the podcast network.
I don't doubt it at all.
Whatever that means.
But listen, I mean, listen, this is a big week for Canadian football. Obviously, you know, it's enormous with the qualifiers resuming next week. You're back in camp real shortly, Oso. Now, I'm looking at this season for you. And obviously, TFC has been a tough season for everyone, a long season. It hasn't gone the way you guys wanted it. But now you switch over to the Canada camp, where it's the opposite, where it's been a really successful yeah, things are going really well. Is it like a tangible switch in your head when you walk the line into that camp from TFC?
Yeah, I think so. I think every time that I've walked into the Canada camp, it's been nice. It's a nice environment. It's been kind of easy to just, you know, switch off for a second what's going on at TFC and focus on what's happening with Canada, and it's nice. It's kind of like always like a reset mentally. Although Toronto has been a little bit better towards the end of the year, and I think that is in part due to going away with the national team. At least for me individually, going away with the national team has actually helped me with my performances with TFC coming back every time. So. Every time I'm going to the national team, it's amazing with everything that's been going on with the recent results and of course I'm excited to join them again for this window.
Yeah, you're right, John. I mean, I remember when we were struggling with a club in England and we had the international games, and it was refreshing, you know, as well as getting together with a bunch of your Canadian teammates, which is just a fantastic experience, win, lose, or draw. As you know, it's a brilliant, brilliant thing. But there are some differences, obviously. Have you found it different from even John Herbin's point of view, from a coaching standpoint, when he doesn't work with the team day in, day out at like club level? International football is different. Have you noticed that, and how training may be adjusted, or maybe even more scientifically down to the second of time that John Herdman has you doing different training sessions with you? Have you found that different?
Yeah, 100%. It's a lot different. John, you know, to begin with, is a very very structured, very organized person, and he there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes with him and his staff. They work tireless hours, making sure that everything is on point, everything is organized to best equip us, the players, for the days, for the long mm-hmm. days, and during camp. Because, like you said, he doesn't have us, day in and day out all year. we only have a certain window of time to prepare for games, and even less so in these windows, because usually we're playing three games. In this window, we're playing two, so we have an extra day. But in the last two, we've had I think one or two less days to prepare. So everything from trainings, how long it can be, how much he has to cover in between those trainings, without pushing us to, you know, to be tired and keeping us fresh. Yeah, it's a lot. You have to take into consideration a lot of things, and there's meetings and stuff. So it's a lot of go with the national team.
So, John, do the players generally feel that professionalism at when they come into this team and into the squad?
Yeah, 100%.
The reason why I ask that is because that was one of the major issues in generations past, that we didn't have that professionalism. And if you're going to compete in a sport that the whole world plays, you can't get away from it being half-assed. So you have to be professional. And I think that during the transition of that, I think probably Atiba Hutchison could probably answer and see the differences that the CSA has made to make it more professional. And I'm glad to hear that the players feel that as well. And I know how meticulous John Herdman is in his training methods, as well as minutes that you guys play. Does he talk to you or keep an eye on minutes that you play at club level as well? Is he keeping an eye on those type of statistics?
Oh yeah, 100%. Obviously, he has the medical staff and trainer staff that also are keeping an eye on that. And he kind of communicates. We have our medical staff communicate with us pretty much almost after every game to see how we're doing. They're aware of how many minutes we played, how many games we have been playing recently. I know, coming back from the last camp, with TFC, we basically had a game every 3-4 days, and our trainer, along with TFC, kind of came up with an idea. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's TFC's decision when to play me, when to not. But Canada kind of advised them on maybe a plan for me going into camp, not especially since we're out of playoffs. They kind of did a plan so that I could be ready for that. For the Canadian Championship semifinal and play 90 minutes, and also going into camp now with this next game, be ready and fit enough to go into camp. So every player has that.
That's really interesting, John. So actually, John Herdman and the CSA are working with Toronto FC combined together. And because of the situation that TFC are in right now, they're quite happy to restrain or sort of restrict your minutes to help our national team. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would say, yeah, more or less. I don't want to say it's the greatest relationship, because of course TFC wants to play us all the time, and then you know. But I think because of the circumstances, especially at least at TFC with myself and Richie, there has been a little bit of a relationship of working together.
Right.
You know, I would guess that in other instances, like in Montreal, they might ask, you know, the players at Montreal to, if you can give them a rest for this game, but Montreal's going to say, we have to make the playoffs. Kamal Miller is going to play. St-Pierre has got to play, you know? I think it's just more so that it's the situation that Toronto's in. So that we kind of have taken advantage of that.
Right. I mean, you can really understand the situation, can't you? When you got the club country conflict, when you got clubs and are paying your money, your wages generally, and they're your bread and butter, and then you got the national team as well. So you can always understand, and the relationships between the manager and different clubs is always different depending on the personalities, of course.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the relationship between, especially I think the Canadian teams and the national team has gone a lot better, and that's a big credit to also John Herdman and the staff. There's been a lot of communication, and I think it's getting better, and I think the clubs realize, you know, they're trying to help. They're helping in the best way possible to help the national team also be successful, because they know the national team being successful is only going to help football in this country.
Oh, so I mean, when John came aboard from the women's side of things, there were some people saying, well, that's a big jump to the men's side. He won't be accepted, you know, straight away. Did he have to earn your respect, or was that already there when you made that jump? It seems to be so smooth sailing from the outside looking in, but I wonder in that room when you first met John, knowing what he'd done with the women's program, was it still a case of, okay, we know you did well, but now it's a different beast. Prove yourself to us.
Yeah, 100% he had to earn the respect, I think, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I will say that he earned it in the first camp. I'm not going to lie. Like, I for sure, when he was appointed, speaking with teammates, yeah, okay, well, this is an interesting one. We'll see, you know. We'll see. It's different, like you said. It is different. And not that I don't think anybody counted him out or weren't giving him a chance. We needed to see. We wanted to see how it was going to be. And for me, being in that first camp with him in Mercia against New Zealand, I was so impressed, honestly. And I said, okay, you know, this guy's came ready. I think he was ready for this job. He, you know, has changed, or he already changed a couple, like the few things that needed to be changed at that time for the national team to move forward. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was everything was different. It was very different. And Craig, you alluded to it. There's that difference in professionalism in the way he came into the camp. And like you said, Atiba can speak more to it. I know, you know, I mean, I've been part of the program for a while, and I know from what I've experienced in the past compared to now, it's night and day.
Mm-hmm. And you have to realize too, and from John's point of view, can you imagine the anxiety leading into it, probably from his point of view, knowing that he knows that what we're talking about is going through everybody's minds. Like, yeah, we're going to give him a chance, but interesting situation, interesting choice as a coach. But knowing John as I do, and now you guys do, he's usually the smartest guy in the room. He's very clever about how to deal with things and how to approach things. And he's obviously proven himself as a coach, tactically, technically, and putting a great staff together. So it's worked out brilliantly for him. So I'm glad that that's obviously translated to the players as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say that the players trust him, you know, and you know, the team and him, I'm sure he would tell you, we've had our bumps. We've had our bumps along this ride and our learning experiences. But I mean, you know, he's very committed into being successful. You know, I don't think he even registers what failure is, because he won't let it happen, you know, and he's prepared for everything, which is something that I really admire about him. He's prepared for the worst circumstances and you know, he's always trying to make everybody better, and yeah, he's done really well, really, really well.
And I think that really bleeds through into the players now. You watch this team play, and there's a swagger about the team that you haven't seen for a very long time with this Canadian side. There's young guys that aren't burdened by the past, it seems. They really, whether they don't remember the past, I don't know, but they seem to play on the front foot, and they have no fear. And we've seen them come back from behind in several games so far this qualifying campaign to get points, you know, show that resiliency. Is that coming from John, or is that just from winning? You know, you win, you get more confident. Where is that coming from, that inner belief?
I think that's a combination of both. I think it started with John in the sense that the number one thing that he wanted to instill in this group was a certain like team spirit. And with the guys that we had, I think it was that it was easy to get that, but you needed that structure. You needed the way to get there. And John showed us the way. And so I think it started with that. And once we got the team spirit, you know, a lot of guys now that are coming, young guys coming up that have played together and they're youth. So you're coming to the team with friends now. And when you're with friends now, you're coming to the team with friends, then you become brothers, and now you're a family, and now you're working harder for each other on the field. So that's how it began. And then the winning, of course, the winning is what adds to the belief. And then we start to win games. We start to see players excelling at their clubs at a very high level. And so all of that just, you know, is a combination of where we are at today.
No, we obviously know that the big headliner that we've in our national team is Alphonso Davies, who's and rightly so, he's had an unbelievable little career, and he's so young. I think he just turned 21, didn't he? So what is it like playing with him? And a guy with his pace, we in our national team have never seen it before. In fact, many teams have not. He scares the living daylights out of teams. Do you feel that from your opposition? When you guys were at Azteca, I've never seen the Mexican team sit so deep against a Canadian team. And I think not only Alphonso, but just other players that create and have pace to get in behind them really worried them.
Yeah. One, playing with Alphonso is incredible. Like you said, his speed. I don't think anybody has seen speed like this. And the control as well that he has with that speed is incredible. Because it's one thing to go really fast, but to not be in control. He's in control. And, yeah, everything that he's accomplished as a 21-year-old, you know, I was watching something the other day on TV about his accomplishments today. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And you know, we're so happy to have him. We're so happy that he's ours. And but yeah,
what do you like as a teammate?
Great teammate, great guy. He has stayed humble through everything that has happened for a young kid. I can imagine that could be tough. It could be tough to keep yourself on the ground, but I think he has the right people around him. And I think on the team, we show our appreciation to him, but we also, I think there's teammates and friends that he has on the team that keep him level-headed as well. So yeah, he has great people around him, and yeah, just everything about him is great. And yeah, we're lucky to have him, honestly.
You talk about the pace, and obviously it's more than world-class, but then on the other side, Tajan is this kid who's emerging through this campaign and becoming a well-known figure in the Canadian sports world. Those that didn't watch MLS perhaps are now realizing, my God, this kid's got some potential as well. What do you see in him? And he's going to Club Brugge very soon, and I suspect he'll do very well there. I mean, as a teammate, when you see how he's emerged through this qualifying campaign, you know, what's your observations?
Oh, amazing player. Amazing. And amazing potential as well, I see. This is a kid that's very, very determined, I think. Very, very determined to prove himself every time he plays. And it's another one with pace and control in his pace that is amazing. And you know, Craig, you mentioned it about the Mexican team backing up, because the whole backline was backing up because it was on both sides. It was Alphonso and then there was Tejan on the other side. And so, yeah, these guys, they're just so dangerous. They're so dangerous. If you give any space, you're dead.
And bringing that point up, you score one of only two goals, I believe, that ever been scored in Azteca by Canadians at an international level at World Cup qualifying. And that was a big part of it, giving you that opportunity to get into that space from wide play and pace. And what was that like, by the way, scoring at one of the most iconic footballing stadiums in the world?
Amazing. Amazing, honestly. It was just great that I could help them, my national team. I think it's what I've been trying, you know, what I've been kind of missing up to this point with the national team is scoring a big goal for my country. And you know, like you said, in that play, we had pace, but we were also playing. We were playing through them. And it just goes to show the flexibility and the adaptability that we have in our team. We can hurt you in so many ways. And I remember that play came from a repress after we lost the ball. We get a throw in. We play there and on the side there. I make a run. Alistair finds Alphonso. And then Alphonso, we talk about his pace and these things, but he splits five players with a pass. And so that shows his finesse as well. That shows you how good this kid is. And so he splits a pass to me, easy touch into the net. Amazing.
It wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy. Your first touch, and your between your first touch and the shot was top class.
Brother. I appreciate that. Thank you. But the splitting pass to my foot, and then scoring was amazing to get us back in the game. I think we've done that in the Gold Cup, and now to do it again, it just gave us this confidence that, you know, that keeps growing, and we believe we should have won that game. I think in other circumstances we would take a draw at Azteca any day of the week, but the way the game went, we left a little bit disappointed, and we wanted to.
I love that.
And that's
amazing. You know what? I get that from this team, Craig, that it seems they expect to win each game, right? Not like, oh, it'd be great to win. Like, no, we should bloody win this game. Mm-hmm. We're good enough.
That's a good point. And do you think, John, that even going through that long route to get to the final eight without going in there automatically, in some ways, playing against minnows, teams that were obviously substandard to what Canada was, and basically hammering them, going through that process, spending more time winning. You guys went in with a lot of momentum. Do you think that almost helped you?
100%. It helps no matter who you play. When you start to win games, there's just a certain confidence of winning games and being together all the time that comes with it, I think. And so for sure that's helped us. This whole road has helped us. And if it happened any other way, we wouldn't be where we are now. And, you know, those some of the teams obviously weren't to stand our standard that we played, but some of those games were really tough still, and we had to grow from them. You know, we talk about playing Haiti, the home and away. You know, maybe on paper they're not where, you know, Mexico is, USA is, but going over there and playing an away game over there is tough. And you know, Craig, you've played in those kind of games. Those kind of teams, for some reason, they're just so hard to play. They're hard to win. They're not.
And the pitches and the conditions all come into play. Jamaica is a great example of that, how you see how well Canada played a few days earlier against Mexico on a nice surface against the best team in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
And then you see the same team in Jamaica, and the pitch was a destroyer.
Yeah, it's exactly. The pitch – it was hot. It was pretty, really, really hot. You know, we're playing in the middle of the day, really. We got lucky, actually, that the sun came down at the time we played, and the sun wasn't on top of us during the game, because that would have been really killer. But even without that, even with the shade, it was tough. And so, so many conditions that you have to deal with, so many things. And so... all of that, this whole journey has made us stronger and tighter and has gotten us ready for these moments.
47 caps, I think you have now for your country. You've played more games than anyone for TFC. Do you feel like a veteran now, or do you still feel like the kid that broke through, well, 6 years ago now, around there?
Longer, it'd be 2013.
Was it 13? Jesus, I feel so freaking old.
If I remember right, on your debut, did you replace Terry Dunfield?
Yes, for TFC.
You were right, Craig.
I replaced Terry Dunfield. That's right. At the Rogers Center.
That was a good substitution.
You took Terry's career.
Amazing memory. great memory at Rogers Center. We won that game as well, and had my family there. So yeah, it's been a while. I mean, seeing all these young kids, it's hard not to see myself as a veteran. But I try to keep it young. I think I still have the same mentality as I had when I was a young kid. I'm just a little bit more wiser, and I have more experience, which I try to bring. But as far as my personality and stuff, I try to, you know, be the same, and I'm the same hungry kid that I was before, and you know, always wanting to win. I think that hasn't changed.
It's not been an easy road. I mean, a lot of people think that professional footballers, and it's a beautiful life, no question about it. It's a great way to spend time, no question. but it's not always easy. And you went through some diversity, not only at the national team level, getting chances, but also a club level. If you're going to give some advice to some of the young players today about moving into the professional game, what would it be?
Yeah, I know. I always try to say this whenever a young player asks me or if I'm around them, is that football is it's not all ups, and it wouldn't be what it is with only being ups. There's a lot of downs for everybody. I mean, like, if you think you're not going to have downs, you have to look at Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. They even go through downs, and they are scrutinized. So mm-hmm. how can you not expect to get scrutinized yourself at some point, at some points in your career? And so I think for aspiring footballers, you know, I always try to say that you have to be prepared for those moments. And as much as everything on the field, you know, is important, getting stronger, faster, better technically, off the field, your mental side of the game is very important as well. And you're going to have to be ready to go through times of low confidence, times when things don't go your way, times when things off the field maybe distract you or affect you on the field. So many things. And you have to be prepared for that and, you know, always find a way to push through and know that if you push through and you keep working hard, then the downs turn back to ups all the time. And so, it's a roller coaster, but it's like you said, it's a life that is, you know.
I guess a good example of that would have been probably 2017 when Vasquez came in and you were reduced playing time, but then you kept working hard. And in the end, I think you played both semifinal two legs and then the final as well.
Yeah. So exactly.
There you go. Things change very quickly in football.
It's crazy that whole year, you know, I was, and that's so true. Things can change so quickly in football. And another example of that is Jacob Schaffelberg on TFC this year. I mean, huge example of that. But for myself that year, it was tough. I wasn't playing regularly. My first time at TFC going in a year where I'm not playing regularly and the team is performing without you. So it's one thing that you're not playing, the team is playing really good. And then, so you start to question yourself, like, damn, like what's going on? I thought I was important to this team. I thought I helped this team. And so there's so many like mental things that you have to deal with. And, you know, I just kept pushing with the national team. I remember I went to that Gold Cup. I hardly played. And that was tough for me. And so I just kept working. And by the end of the year, I got back to myself. I got right mentally. And that led me to being good on the field. And I was able to win a championship that year. And then everything changes so fast. The next year was actually my best year. So it's crazy. Football, it's amazing.
I guess you can be selfish, but also be a team player as well. That, you know, as much as you want to see a team do well, you can also think, man, they're playing really well without me. You know, I find that with the podcast all the time. I miss a podcast and it's still good. I get really pissed off because I'm just selfish. I'm not a team player. It's like, God, Dunlop did a real nice job there. Shit.
Yeah.
I better jump back on as soon as possible.
You got nothing else to fall back on, Charms.
I know, exactly. This is my career these days.
Well, to be fair, me too. I got nothing. Those days are gone.
We're not bitter, though. That's the main thing, right? We're not bitter. We talk about the moments, you know, Fonzie's goal against Panama, of course, and, of course, your goal at Azteca. It kind of got us thinking that maybe we should quiz you on all things Azteca. Craig's a quiz master here, so, you know, you score a goal, Canada's first and only goal at the Azteca Stadium. You must know a lot about it. So Craig, let's put us on the spot here.
Yes. Are we going to break up this or are we going to do a straight
into
it?
We'll do it as this, and then we'll come back and break up the next segment, okay?
Okay.
This is Craig, you know, not listening in our pre-production meetings. Yeah. So we explained to him during the podcast.
I was listening. I just don't have a very good short-term memory or long.
You were a goalkeeper.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You scored Azteca. Now, there was actually two goals in history scored at Azteca by Canadians in World Cup qualifying. Who is the other one?
You know, I it's crazy because this guy, after the day after, or even the day, the night of, I heard the name, and it's not coming to my head right now.
Jerry Gray.
Jerry Gray. That's,
yep.
Oh my God.
That's okay. That's okay.
And hey, what year was that? Was that
Oh, now you got me. I'm going to guess 1980.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so there was a goal scorer at Azteca.
I think Canada drew 1-1, I believe, 1980. Jerry Gray, he scored.
So Ozzy didn't make history.
Yeah. Why do we even have him
on? Jesus. Yeah, what a waste of time.
Azteca, also very famous for a number of different things in football. Maybe the most iconic stadium in the whole world. It was voted that the game of the century was played at Azteca between Italy and West Germany in 1970. The score was 4-3. How many of the goals were scored in extra time? 3, 4, or 5?
That's a good question.
What a great question. I'm going to say 5.
You're right.
Wow.
5 goals in extra time.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The legs were gone, weren't they?
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
The legs were gone. The altitude probably. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't imagine.
Well, the altitude, that's something. I was very surprised it didn't seem to affect you guys like it did us, although we weren't able to possess the ball like you guys.
This is coming from the guy that smoked during his career.
Yeah, it's right. Okay, another one. Also at Azteca, this is probably an easy one. Voted the goal of the century. Who is that scored by?
That was scored by the one and only Diego Maradona.
And who was it against?
England.
Yeah.
Remember it too well.
Just threw that one in for
12-year-old James Sherman brought into his knees in tears.
Yeah. Another maybe not a good memory for Canada, but Canada's record loss was at Azteca Stadium. It was 8-0 in a Gold Cup match. Who is the goalkeeper?
I don't want to say your name. But
it's okay. It's okay. I'm used to it. I got beat 9. It's
8. You can do it in your sleep.
Yeah, I can do this in my sleep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a bad day. That was all bad.
At least there are no podcasts to talk about it back in those days.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we'll move on from Azteca. I've got lots more stuff at Azteca we could do. My goodness, there's so much stuff. I love that stadium. Isn't it something?
No, it's amazing. Honestly, there's like a certain feeling that you get when you get in there. It's incredible.
It really is. It really is. But you're going to now move into Edmonton for the first time in this qualifying campaign. Mm-hmm. Commonwealth Stadium. It's a stadium that's been very, very good to Canada over the years. Edmonton have really supported us well there over the years. And I'll give you another quiz question. In 1994, Canada played to a heroic 1-1 draw against who at a Commonwealth Stadium?
I'm going to say against Brazil.
That's right. In 1994, and it was a pro-Canadian crowd, virtually sold out. I think you guys are going to get that same atmosphere this time around. And, you know, one thing that we do as Canadians and players do notice is we get a lot of away support at home.
Yeah.
You know, that's been typical for years and years. I don't know how we get around that exactly. It can be disappointing, but you'll find that in Edmonton, it'll be a pro-Canadian crowd for sure. So they've been great in Edmonton as well. So that's fantastic. Do you know, last quiz question about Commonwealth or sorry, Edmonton, what is the average temperature in Edmonton in middle of November?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know, I have checked what the weather is going to be like.
Of course you have.
It's going to be under 0, that's for sure. If I had to take a guess, the average temperature would be -8.
Not bad. Not that cold. It's -5. -5 is usually the low at night. But and that looks as about what it'll be come game time.
Hey, yeah. Let me ask you this then. It's minus eight, say, game time. Who is least likely to wear gloves in this Canadian team? Least likely. Because most of you guys are going to wear gloves, right? I'm assuming.
Well, I'm going to wear gloves. who's the least likely? If he's on the roster, Liam Fraser would be the least likely to wear gloves. I'd be surprised if he wore anything, any long sleeve.
Really? He's nails, eh?
He's got the Scottish, like, he's got Scottish blood. He's nails. I'm trying to think who else.
I can't picture Vittorio wearing gloves.
He'll wear gloves.
Will he? He'll wear gloves. Big burly center back, not good enough. I'm not having that at all.
I think he'll wear gloves. Alistair, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
None of you should wear gloves. Make a statement against Costa Rica. Don't wear gloves. So you wouldn't need gloves. This is our weather. This is our country.
Yeah, I'm going to wear short sleeves, no long sleeves.
Yeah, exactly.
No tights. I should.
We're going to keep an eye on that.
We sure are.
Who's your roommate? Who do you roommate with?
Right now, because of protocols and everything, we have our own rooms. Mm-hmm. Before all this, my roommate was Lucas Cavallini.
Oh, right, because you guys go way back to youth level in Uruguay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
We should mention that the squad's being announced, I believe, tomorrow. So we assume that Ozo's on the squad. If not, makes this all really a little bit awkward.
I got called. Yeah.
You got called out. Hey, we broke some news. We broke some news on Freddy Prime. Tiny. Finally, first time.
Yeah. I got the call. Yeah.
Me and Lucas. Yeah, he was always my roommate, and we go way back, man. It's crazy to see how our worlds have come back. You know,
amazing.
You know, our careers have come back after some time, and we've both been through different paths, and so it's amazing to experience.
Hey, Sharms, here's one for you. I'll give you a quiz question.
Oh, great! Yeah, I was not on the rundown.
Yeah, of course not.
What I put together.
John's mom and dad were both born in Colombia, and in two different cities that were heavily covered in the TV series Narcos. Which two cities would they be?
I don't want to offend any Colombians out there. Jesus. I'm not going to offend anyone, right? I think I know this. I only know two cities from that series, which is a great series, and that is Cali and Medellin.
Correct. Right?
Nailed it. Love my Escobar. What can I say?
Yeah. There you go. And the Cali brothers.
Nice one. All right, listen, Ozo, thanks so much for doing this. Stick around. We've got something else we'll do for social media, but really enjoy this. Good luck next week. The country is, I can say this for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, the country is really behind you boys. And, good things are happening on the Canadian soccer scene, and you guys are a huge part of that. So thank you, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again, guys. It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.